Well, it is wonderful to have you here tonight. Thank you for joining us for what is our 44th Alpha. This is a 44th time we have had the opportunity of doing Alpha at Lakeview Christian Center. And it's really a great time for all of you, and it's a great time for us. We really do appreciate you coming. I'm confident over the weeks that we have together, if you come back, and we certainly hope you do. The good news about this is that next week, the dinner is still free. So, and then week after that, you're not getting the free app, and then you have to pay for it if you want more. This is, what you see is what you get, and we truly do appreciate you being here. Well, my name is Frank Loria, and I have the privilege and the fun of being the presenter here for the Alpha course. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Alpha, why I believe it's going to be worth your being here for the next 7 weeks, or for as many weeks as you can. I also want to welcome people that are watching live stream. There are folks that can't be here that are watching live stream. I want to say hi to Sam and Elise and the girls who are watching in Canaan, New York. And so we are happy to have you guys here. I know we've got some folks and even from as far as I think Metairie are actually watching here tonight. So this is really something. But we are grateful for you guys watching live stream as well. Unfortunately, you're not getting this. Okay, those of you watching live stream, we're not doing DoorDash. You're just having to eat whatever you're eating. But everyone was well fed here. And so, so let me tell you just a little bit about me. I just sold my business about a year and a half ago. I was in the employment business for about 44 years, owned the company for about 40 years of that. If you're looking for a job, I probably can't help you. But if you do, maybe I could pull some strings somewhere. So now I'm actually one of the elders here at the church. And so all that time I was spending there, I now have the privilege of spending here. And we've attended this church for, March was 44 years. And that's incredible. But first, I want you to meet my better three quarters on her worst day. This is my bride, Annette, if you just have a chance to see my gorgeous girl of 45 years, 11 months, 26 days, about 8 hours and 38 minutes. We have three grown children who are married to three other grown children, and they have given us 12 grandchildren, one of which we just shipped off to Auburn University, wrong Tigers, but shipped off to Auburn University a week from Monday, was that? So, Annette went to Dominican High School. She was a Deb. Any other Debs in the room? Okay. I went to an all-boy military school called New Orleans Academy, where I had the academic distinction of graduating in the top 18 of my class of 21. I chose not to pursue a college education, so I attended Louisiana State University. Where I could pursue so many other things that I could not pursue at home. So I joined the wildest fraternity on campus. I was a deke at LSU. Any other brothers in the bond? Any other deeks? No. But honestly, that's where I met Annette for the first time. First football game, September 15th, 1974. So you can do the math on that. But that's where I met her, swinging from a chandelier. And that's really where she first caught my eye, with her heel. And then my shoulder with her knee, and down we went, and she's been all over me ever since then. It's just, at least that's the way I like to tell it. And, you know, if you tell the lie enough times, it becomes the truth, right? So, but I'm just trying to train myself to remember it that way. Now, more about me in the coming weeks if you choose to endure that. But let me tell you about the Alpha course. The Alpha course actually began in London, England. It was a little Bible class in an Anglican church. Over in the United States, we call that Episcopal. but there's more Anglican churches in the United States. But the Anglican church in London, England, a pastor by the name of Nicky Gumbel took this little Bible study in the course of just a couple of decades, turned it into a course that is now in over about 100 languages in over 130 different countries, and over 30 million people have attended the Alpha course over the years. And we've had Alpha here since 2001. As I said, this is our 44th Alpha, and we have probably had close to 10,000 folks come through Alpha. And we are grateful for you to be a part of that. And, you know, we've had all kinds of pastors. We've had priests here. We've had, I don't know if you guys, any of you guys know Father Beau Charbonnet from St. Angela Merici. But Beau came many years ago. He brought his entire Christian education department with him, and he insisted that they sit at different tables. And I say this humbly, but gratefully. So after Beau got Alpha started at his at St. Angela, other priests would come to them and say, "Beau, teach us how to do Alpha." He said, "Oh, no. You go to Lakeview Christian Center." And so we are, matter of fact, he shot me a text just the other day, just thanking us for helping them get started. And I'm just honored to do that and grateful to do that. So what is Alpha? What have you gotten yourself into here, other than a lot of good food? Alpha is an opportunity to learn about, now this term that I'm about to give you may throw you a little bit, but learn about biblical Christianity. What does the Bible have to say? Now, I'll tell you a little bit more about me, as I said, in the coming weeks, but I knew nothing about the Bible growing up. Zero. I didn't know what a Bible was, and I don't blame anybody for that, but the guy you're looking at. But it's an opportunity to come and think. It's an opportunity to come and reason. Opportunity in a very non-threatening environment to talk about things we don't typically talk about or think deeply about. And so in the time that we have together, when I'm done here, you're just going to have an opportunity to just talk among yourselves around the table. And there's no question that's off limits. We just want you to come, and we want to be together and have a good time, good meal, make new friends. And as I said, begin to think about not only what we believe, but why do I believe what I believe. Now, I want to tell you what Alpha is not. Alpha is not a membership drive of Lakeview Christian Center. It doesn't matter to us whether you ever come to this church. You want to come, fine. But this is not what this is. This is not we're not trying to get you to change your church or change your denomination. As I said, it's an opportunity to come together and just think about things we typically don't think about, because our lives are typically moving at 100 miles an hour, and we're not giving thought to the things that we really in our hearts would say, I need to know this. I need to know more about what I believe. Questions we need to have answers for, questions that we say we want to have answers for, important questions for our entire lives, not just for the moment of our lives. It was Socrates that said this. He said, the unexamined life, is not worth living. Now you think about that. What this guy from thousands of years ago, this philosopher, is saying, that the unexamined life may not even be life. It just may be existing, going from event to event to event to event to your funeral. But really not slowing down long enough to think about the things that we really do believe. They're hidden somewhere under the pile of the worries of this world that tell us what is most important. A guy by the name of Oz Guinness said it very succinctly. Here's an insightful statement. He said, most of us feel immortal in our teens and 20s. Then we move through life so fast in our 30s and 40s that we lose sight of the journey and think only of our careers. Even in our 50s, we barely hear the roar of the rapids several bends downriver. Good question. Ask yourself this. Have you awakened to the journey of life? Or are you among those drifting down the years? Are you among those so caught up in the project of themselves that they choose not to hear the flow of time? Are you living an examined life? Or are you living in the hand-me-down ideas of others? Are you open? Like, really ask yourself this question. Are you open to the full interrogation of life? Or are you closed to the search because you believe what you've always believed without question? I mean, now you think about the people who have made it to the top of their profession, the people that would be considered the most successful, those that everybody wants to emulate. They must certainly have it all together, right? Well, apparently not. Some of us may be familiar with this guy, Ted Turner. He was interviewed by Barbara Walters, and she asked Ted Turner the question, Ted, what do you mean by success? What to you is successful? And this is what Ted Turner said. I think it's kind of an empty bag, to tell you the truth. You have to get there to really know that. Money doesn't buy happiness, and neither does honors or positions or awards or trophies. You may be familiar with this guy. Some of you know who this is? Okay, I'm seeing Freddie Mercury from Queen, died at age 45 of complications from AIDS. This is what Freddie Mercury said. He said, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. Now, I don't think Freddie would take issue with me. Of course, he's dead. He can't take issue with me. But of saying the emptiest man. And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds. But it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship. See, Freddie Mercury knew something that all of the accolades, all of the money, all the relationships, shallow relationships, didn't scratch the deepest part of his being. It's prevented me. All those things have kept me from really experiencing what I want. But it's not those experiences that keep him from experiencing what he wants. It's himself that kept him experiencing what he really wanted and used those things as an excuse. We're going to hear somebody else that says that in a minute. Then Mercury said this, can you imagine how terrible it is when you've got everything and you're still desperately lonely, still desperately empty? That is awful beyond words. Some of you guys may recognize this guy, Matthew Perry. What was his name in Friends? Okay. Died October of last year. He was 54 years old. He said, nobody wanted to be famous more than me. I was convinced it was the answer. I was 25. It was the second year of Friends. And 8 months into it, I realized the American dream is not making me happy, not filling the holes in my life. I couldn't get enough attention. Fame does not do what you think it's going to do. Hear this? It was all a trick. Well, who tricked him? Whose trick? Who told you all of this was what it was? You bought it. You bought into it, and this is where it brought you. Now, I'm going to show you a little video here. Now, this is taken in 2005. It's an interview with Tom Brady when he had only won 3 Super Bowl rings. Okay. But I would bet if Tom Brady would give me 3 minutes, which he wouldn't, if I asked Tom Brady the question you're going to hear him ask in a minute, and the comments that he makes, he would probably say close to the same thing. Here's Brady.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings? And and still think there's something greater out there for me. I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I think, God, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it. I'm 27. And what else is there for me?
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I mean, I think that's part of me trying to go out and experience other things. But I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find.
A lot of parts about me I'm trying to find. Well, a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh Super Bowl ring was nice. But the eighth ring is when he lost. See, could I keep you here all night with these quotes that I have and I have to choose which ones to take and which ones not? I mean, at least Tom Brady doesn't play football anymore for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which we Saint fans are. And hopefully Baker Mayfield this year will play quarterback like he did for the Cleveland Browns, and we won't have to worry about them. Donald Kalish, I wanted to show you this. Donald Kalish was the chairman of the philosophy department at UCLA from 64 to 70. This is what Kalish had to say. Now, imagine being one of his students. I don't know if any of you took philosophy in college or anything, but imagine being one of Dr. Kalish's UCLA students. He says, there's no system of philosophy to spin out. Now, philosophy, what's philosophy? Philosophy is basically a framework of beliefs, a grid of beliefs whereby we try to make all the pieces fit together to where life makes sense for us. He says, there's no system of philosophy to spin out. There are only ethical truths. Oh, gosh, there's so much to break down in this. There are just clarifications of particular ethical problems, says the professor. Take advantage of these clarifications and work out your own existence. You are mistaken. You are mistaken to think that anyone ever had the answers. There are no answers. Be brave. Face up to it. Don't you just leave there feeling so encouraged? Like, thanks, Doc. So if there are no answers, then there are no questions on the test, and I pass the course? Is that what you're telling me? But, you know, with all due respect to Dr. Kalish, he contradicts himself when he says there are no answers to life. But to say there are no answers to life is, in fact, an answer to the question, are there any answers? The professor also said that life has no purpose. But for some reason, Dr. Kalish made it his life's purpose to tell people life has no purpose. Why should we believe Dr. Kalish's philosophy? I understand your assertion, Dr. Kalish, but what is your argument? Why should I believe what you believe, other than being a student to pass your tests? Why should I do that? See, the Bible takes issue with Dr. Kalish. The Bible that I had never read does claim to have answers to life's essential questions. Now, I'm not telling you to believe the Bible, but the Bible does take issue with Dr. Kalish and takes issue with many ways in which you and I choose to believe and not believe. Let me just ask you a question real quick. If you don't mind just raising your hand, I ask this question every time. How many of you grew up as a course of your life, it's just something you did regularly, reading the Bible? It's just something you did all the time. Come on, don't be shy. You don't need to be embarrassed by that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Whew. Such a large number of Bible readers growing up. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but thank you. You know, the Bible claims to have answers to worldview questions such as origin. Where'd I come from? Purpose. Why am I here? Destiny. Where am I going? The Bible claims that God made us to have meaning and purpose. Now, I'm not asking you to believe the Bible. I'm not asking you to believe the Bible because I haven't given you any reason to believe the Bible. I'm not asking you to believe a word I'm saying. I'm going to encourage you not to believe a word I'm saying. Not because I don't want you to believe me, but I want you to check it out yourself. I want us to reason together. But if the Bible is true, Jesus, and we're going to talk about next week, the topic is who, the title is Who is Jesus? But we're going to look into evidences, some evidences with the time we have to, why should I believe that the Bible is true? Why should I believe some guy named Jesus is actually who he said he was, or that he even walked the earth? Who can know? That was so long ago. We're going to talk about some of that. We're going to answer some of those questions, of those incredible claims. Because he said, he made some claims that he said that he came to give us what we do not have, life. Now, what do you mean? I got life. I'm standing here. I'm vertical. I'm breathing. My blood's coursing through my body. But he's talking, must be talking about a different life. But to believe that requires faith. Are you a person of faith? Do you have faith? Maybe not so much. But here's the thing. We exercise faith every day. And I'm not talking about religious faith. We exercise faith every day. How many of you guys watch the weather, particularly this time of year, right? You watch the weather. Okay. Now, I don't know how these guys keep their job. Right? Here he is. But you know, the weatherman says, oh, this weekend's going to be beautiful. Sunny skies, nice breeze, you know. And then all of a sudden, and this happens. I mean, the family's out there, the barbecue's going. Now, I want you to notice a couple of people in the family here. Now, this guy's just walking off with his cell phone. I don't know what he's doing. He didn't want to finish his didn't get to finish his Candy Crush game and didn't want to lose where he was. You know, some people are just enjoying the conversation here. I don't know what this guy is doing here. I have no idea. But this guy, now I want to give you a good look at this guy. He is not going to lose his beer. I mean, this guy is, he is hanging on to this thing. Somehow he's grasped this thing with his teeth and he is going to keep that beer. But you know, you just figure, I mean, how many times can they miss and get away with it? I mean, professional baseball players, you know, if you hit 3 out of 10 times, you're making millions of dollars. These guys, you know what needs to happen? Take them away. Just arrest them. Costing me all this money by not getting it right. So that's faith. That is faith. Did you drive here tonight? I assume you did. You drove here in faith, right? Did you know your car was going to start? Some of you weren't really sure. But did you know your car was going to start? Did you know that the brakes were going to work? Did you know that when the light turned green, it was safe for you to go because everybody was going to stop at the red light? Did you know that? No, you do that in faith. It's not blind faith, but you do that in faith, right? Did you enjoy your meal tonight? I hope you did. But did you meet the chef? I mean, do you know what kind of mood the chef was in tonight? No, you didn't. But you just ate, and some of you ate, and ate, and ate. But what if about like 2 o'clock this morning, you start realizing the chef added something a little special? Just a little special. And you're starting to feel it. And it's louder than that thunderclap you just heard a minute ago. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to urgent care? You're going to see what? A doctor. Is this the doctor you're going to see when you go see the doctor? How many of you have no idea who this is? Just please raise your hand. Okay, yeah, the youth in the back. Okay. But again, we go see a doctor. Do you just go see any doctor? Some doctor that's got a trailer on airline highway? Are you doing that? No. I want to know, Bridget, who did you go see when you had this, you know? I mean, that's what we're doing. We're looking for evidence, okay? How many of you like flying? Huh, okay. Yeah. Now, how about this flight? Okay. US Air Flight 1549. left LaGuardia January 15th, 2009. 35 degree water temperature, 18 degree air temperature. You know, it's amazing that US Air did not charge anything more for the excursion into the Hudson. That's fascinating. But, I mean, it kind of brings new meaning to the term flying on a wing and a prayer. But faith, we get on an airplane, we put 100% of our being into an object that is not necessarily 100% reliable, don't we? We do it all the time. So we exercise faith all the time. We all have faith. If you've served on a jury. If you've served on a jury, the judge will charge the jury to come to a conclusion. Does he say or she say beyond a shadow of a doubt? What does he or she say? A reasonable doubt. Okay, so where there aren't, I mean, there seem to be cameras everywhere now. Cameras are like are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But where there aren't cameras that would prove, and now with AI, who knows, who really knows if that really happened or not. But we all have faith. And the more evidence presented, the more reasonable the faith position. Now, let me ask you one more question. How many believe there's something on the other side of your last heartbeat? Okay? You believe there's something on the other side of your last heartbeat, and you believe it's going to last forever, and you hope it's going to be good. Just raise your hand. Okay, gee, more than five. All right, so that's very interesting. Now, what I'd like to do is I want to get Ian here to help me. Micah, are you in here? Good, come on. Okay, Ian, I want you to come over here. Now, Ian, being the specimen that he is going to represent physical life. He's going to hold that up right there. My grandson, Mike, hold this, okay? And Micah is going to go all the way across the room. Now, put it on this end, right there, okay? So your physical life began at some point in time, and you're somewhere along the continuum of life. Do you have any idea how when your life's going to end? No. Really? Okay. You don't know when life is going to end. You've got no idea where you are. It doesn't matter whether you're, are you 18?
17.
Close. You look 18. it doesn't matter whether you're 17 or 77. The 77 could outlive the 17-year-old, right? Who knows? But where all of this is somewhere coming to the end where the heart's going to stop beating and we're going to be on the other side of our last heartbeat. Now, this is what I think is so interesting. Now, Micah's just giving us an example. That would continue through the brick wall and on and on and on. But here's the thing that I find so fascinating. We spend so much time, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. I think these are important decisions. Where are we going to go to school? Where are we going to live? What kind of car are we going to buy? Where are kids going to go to school? What are we going to invest in? What are we going to do when it comes to, I mean, some of us spend more time studying and researching where we're going to vacation than we actually spend on the vacation. We just got to get it right. I mean, and God forbid we get stuck for 2 years in the wrong cell phone policy. I mean, how horrible is that? So we spend all this time on something that is going to last just a little bit. It's just a dash. We'll call it a dash. But we say we believe there's something on the other side of our last heartbeat, and we believe it's going to last forever, and we hope it's going to be good. And how do you know that? Why do you believe that? Could your grandmother tell you? Your parents tell you? Really? So what I want to encourage us to do is we're going to think about this because this is so important. We'll call the dash. But if we really believe there's something on the other side of our last heartbeat that's going to last forever, wouldn't it make just as much sense to spend that type of critical thinking as to what is this? How can I know where I'm going to end up on the other side of my last heartbeat? Something that I hope we're going to have fun talking about and really think about over the time that we're together. So, were these guys not fantastic?
Hard work.
Thank you, bud. It was It was C.S. Lewis. Now, C.S. Lewis was a staunch. Now, most of you have heard of C.S. Lewis, the Chronicles of Narnia. He was the professor of ancient English literature at Oxford and Cambridge University. Did not believe in God at all. If any of you have read his book, if you haven't read his book, you'd love it. You'd love Mere Christianity. It's kind of his story of coming from atheism to theism to faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He said this. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world, okay, if no experience in the dash can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I was made for the line." You know, he went on to say, if you aim at heaven, the line, you get earth thrown in. In other words, it all makes sense. If you aim at earth, you get neither. Interesting statement by Dr. Lewis. Ray Pritchard, teacher and author, says, "We were made to know God. We are incurably religious or spiritual by nature. That's why every human society, no matter how primitive, has some concept of a higher power, some vision of reality that goes beyond the natural, that goes beyond the dash." St. Augustine, who was the Hugh Hefner of the 300s, if you know anything about Augustine, I mean, this guy was a womanizer. He was really something. And apparently God got a hold of him. And his life did a 180. And he said this, and he would know. He said, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." That's quite a statement of faith. Is that true? Why should I believe that, Augustine? But it's in this word, restless. Boy, if there's a word, I think, to define maybe the world, but particularly Americans, how restless are we? What happened in 2020? It's like everything went off axis. We're restless. Some hopeless. I mean, some clueless. But it's where we are. See, we seem to have trouble finding our way. And that's the Bible's declaration of the necessity of the incarnation of the Son of God. And if you will, heaven's rescue mission to us humans here on the planet to, if what the Bible says is true, is win us back for us to experience and to rediscover God's definition of meaning and purpose. The purpose that we have in the dash and in the line. Now, possibly you still see what you would call Christianity as either boring. I would have considered it boring. Irrelevant. I would have considered it irrelevant. Untrue. I wasn't sure. I had no other experience. But this is what we hope, that through you being here, you will find out that biblical Christianity is just the opposite. Now look, if you think being here at Alpha is going to get you some points with God, sorry. It's going to make you nicer. It's going to make you want to go to church more. If you think that's the purpose to give for, you know, that you'll give more money away, that you'll do all these other things, you are in the wrong place. This is not about any of that. Not about you just trying to be a better version of yourself. This is not a self-help program with Jesus' name attached to it. Continue to live as frustrated. I grew up as a very religious guy, trying to do deals with God, and maybe a lot of you would like that. Well, I didn't go to church because I was interested in honoring or revering God. I was ready to make a deal. I mean, that might as well have been the gambling parlor, walking into church. "Hey, God, I'm going to give you this. What am I going to get in return?" So what Alpha is going to do is going to help us find out beyond traditions, beyond stereotypical religious thought, to what does this book have to say? What is in here? What does it say? So my challenge, the challenge to me and my challenge to us here tonight, and as many weeks as you'll come back, as many weeks as you'll be watching live stream, is a lot of us just don't even know what's in it. And we've written it off before we've read into it what it really says. So what we're going to do, I want to touch on as I'm closing here, three things that the Bible claims that Jesus had to say about himself that, if true, have dash and line implications for every one of us in this room drawing breath, if true. So in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, okay, and there's the New Testament, there are the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. John is the fourth gospel. You have the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the 14th verse, Jesus, when he's being questioned by Thomas, you know, we call him Doubting Thomas if you're familiar with him, but Thomas said, Lord, what's the way? How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, there's quite a statement here. He's not saying I am a way or a truth or a life. He's not giving the indefinite article here. He is giving the definite article that we know, the way. This is quite a statement here. The way, the truth, and the life. So let's just talk first about this. I am the way. He said that he was. Now again, this is something that I didn't get at all. Maybe some of you didn't either. I didn't get the him telling me that he was. But he was saying that he is the way. He didn't say the rules are the way. Keeping the rules is the way. Keeping the Ten Commandments is the way. Your church attendance is the way. I'm not opposed to any of those things, by the way. Don't hear me being opposed to any. Obviously, where am I standing? Okay, again. He's not saying do-gooding is the way. He's not saying praying. He's talking about something more than religious dogma. He's talking about a relationship. You know that what thing that Freddie Mercury was talking about? He's talking about us experiencing him, a supernatural God, in a personal way. I am the way. Hey, if you're restless, if you're unsettled, if you're wayward, if you're empty, if you're confused, if you're heartbroken, he's saying he is the way to heal that. The heart of Christianity, I had no idea this, the heart of biblical Christianity is not rule-keeping. It's knowing the person of Jesus Christ. And through that relationship, the change that naturally, supernaturally happens. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says this. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Okay, that must mean that I need to be saved. If Jesus is saying this, and this is the truth, he's saying that he is the way, he is the door. If you enter through me, you'll be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is a place of security. Pasture is a place of safety. Pasture is a place of provision. And so he says we'll be saved from going the wrong way. Then Jesus also said this. He said, not only am I the way, I am the way and the truth. Now, some would ask, particularly in the realm of religion, isn't it enough to just sincerely believe? I mean, really, isn't sincerity enough? I mean, I sincerely believe what I believe. But what is sincerity? Now, think about this. What does sincerity have to do with the truth? I mean, how often have you believed something really sincerely and been sincerely wrong? My sincerity doesn't make something true. I can believe it to the death. I can die for it. My dying for it doesn't make it true. It may make me stupid. It may make me simplistic. And so, I believed sincerely for many years And I was sincerely wrong. So does it matter what I believe? Again, does it matter that I'm sincere? Well, let's just take it out of the religious, you know, religious environment where people will say something like this. It's not what you believe, but that you believe. Now, we will let folks get away with that in the religious setting. But how are you going to buy this? It's not what you eat, but that you eat. Anybody want to just join me at behind Robert's grocery store tonight and just do a dumpster dive? None of us. Now maybe we Americans, this may be more true, but certainly it's what we eat. How about this? It's not what you breathe, but that you breathe. You think those people in East Palestine a couple of years ago, East Palestine, Ohio, when those toxic rail cars just blew up, just ran to go, just breathe all that in? Nobody believes it's just what you breathe, but that you breathe. Nobody believes that. How about this? It's not what you invest in, but that you invest. Believe me, I have invested, my wife can tell you, I have invested in some peculiar things. But we don't live this way. Okay? Now, for this one, maybe with this. It's not what you marry. Some of us are getting so old. But that you marry. Maybe that's, you know, well, what the heck? I mean, she's standing up. but here's the thing. When it comes to spiritual stuff, we just kind of check our brain at the door. Why do we do that? We don't do that in any other area of life. Something that's going to last just a little bit of time. I mean, we're just going to make it happen. But something that lasts forever, well, it's, you know, it's really not what you believe. Just that you believe. Really. Well, this is what the high priest of all wisdom has to tell us. Of course, Oprah. I still am trying to figure this statement out. Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have. What does that even mean? I mean, like, can I make the money you're making if I can just say things like that? I mean, well, what if my truth, Ms. Winfrey, is different than your truth? Two truths can't be saying the opposite things and both of them be true. And again, you think about that in the religious realm as well. So, you know, all religions, I mean, how many times have you heard this? Again, I would have been right there in that camp. You know, all religions are basically saying the same thing. Why just can't we all just get together and sing Kumbaya? I mean, why do we have to? What's the big deal? Well, there really is a big deal. You know, one of the problems that folks will say is that, you know, the problem I have with Christianity, it's so exclusive. Well, guess what? Every religion is exclusive. The question is not if it's exclusive. The question is it the truth? So if you look at Islam for a minute, in week three, we're going to really get into this. But Islam says that Jesus was not the Son of God. Do not say that God had a son. Islam would say that Jesus did not die on the cross. Someone took his place on the cross, but Jesus did not die on the cross. Islam will say things like you have to keep the five pillars of the faith to eventually go into paradise. They'll say a lot of things. Well, I think if any of us went to catechism class or any Sunday school class, we're going to understand that doesn't sound like what I grew up believing. So how can both of them be true when they contradict one another? Either one is false, the other is true, or they're both false. And we can throw Mormonism in there. We can throw Jehovah's Witnesses. We can throw Krishna. We can throw Buddhism. And we can do all those. They're not all saying the same thing. Anything but. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some moral aspects of it, like caring for other people. I'm not saying that. Certainly, those are some similarities. But at the foundation of the faith, they're saying totally different things. So, and you know, what I love about the God of the Bible is this. I kind of alluded to this a minute ago, is that he does not ask us to chuck our brains at the door concerning faith. But for some reason, we do that ourselves. We insist on there being some place when it has something to do with spirituality to just come up with some pithy statements that we don't even know what they mean. God helps those that help themselves. You heard that one? Yeah, I believe that one. That's not necessarily the truth. It's actually the Bible would take great issue with that. Well, Jesus also said this. He said, I am the way and the truth, and I am the life. The Bible teaches, now again, I'm not asking you to believe this, that we were made in the image of God, but we marred that image. When in the garden, the Bible talks about in Genesis, first three chapters, of a garden that God made for his for first two creatures, Adam, Eve. They had perfect harmony in their relationship with God. God set in the garden, in the midst of the garden, two trees though. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said to them, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Now, what does that mean? You shall surely die. Well, they did. They died immediately in terms of their relationship to God. They were separated from God. They died in terms of having this union with God. It was immediately severed. We're going to go into a whole lot more than that in the weeks to come. And then they began to be severed in their relationship with one another. They started blaming the other one. This is what he made me, she made. All these things became the blame game. But boy, we know about that 2,000 years, 4,000 years, 10,000 years later. And then third, they died to their bodies because slowly they began. So immediately they died to their relationship with God. They began to die in their relationship with one another, and they would eventually die in their union with their connection to their bodies. So, but what's the truth? A guy by the name of William Ernest Henley, he was a poet in England in the 1800s. At the very end of this poem called Invictus, said this, he wrote this. He says, it matters not how straight the gate. Okay, Jesus, if you know anything about the Bible, he said things like, the way is narrow that leads to life. The way is narrow and hard that leads to life. He says, it matters not how straight the gate, how fraught with punishment the scroll. What do you think he's talking about there? Ten Commandments. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So if you were Italian, he'd just be giving you the Italian salute, you Christian crazy people, you religious crazy people. I am the master of my fate, and I am the captain of my soul. Is exactly what Adam and Eve, the lie that they bought, and with all due respect, it's the lie that every one of us in this room buy. Every one of us watching live stream, every one of us, to one degree or another, we're going to make it happen. Even if we're going to make it happen by our attendance in religious events and all these other things. So Jesus comes into the midst of our self-reliance and says, you're heading in the wrong direction. But I am the way. You're believing a lie. I believed a lie. But I am the truth. And then we're dead in our relationship with him, but I am the life. I come to give you what no one, no thing, no experience can give you. The question is that the truth? That's what we want to know. I don't want to believe a lie. Anybody here want to believe a lie? Just love believing lies. Saints are going to win the Super Bowl. I love believing that lie, but, and I hope it's not a lie, but I don't want to, not when it pertains to something as serious as this, which we give so little time considering. And another passage from John is this. For God, the apostle writes, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, we're going to really unpack this word because it's a whole lot more than what I actually thought it was. There's some depth to this word. Whoever believes in him should not perish, should not forever be separated from God, but have eternal life, have the life that Jesus comes to give. Now, some of us, many of us, maybe we didn't read the Bible, but a lot of us have heard this. If we watched a football game, you've seen John 3:16 up in the end zone and stuff like that. But I want to ask you to do this, just for a moment. For God so loved Joshua that he gave his only son. That God so loved Lynn that he gave his only son. That if Joshua, that if Lynn believed in him, Joshua, Lynn, just put your name there, would not perish. In other words, on the other side of the last heartbeat, that last kadunk, eternal life. That's the promise that God makes. And the greatest aspect of the promise is it begins with the meaning and the purpose that God promises while we're still heartbeating on this planet. In school, just retired, middle of career, whatever, and whatever, wherever. Okay, I'm going to close by introducing you to two men from two different time periods, and I'm going to shut up. This is Shia LaBeouf, right? Made gobs of money. But this is what he said about all these things. He says, I don't handle fame well. Most actors on most days don't think they're worthy. I don't know if I believe that. I have no idea where this insecurity comes from, but it's a God-sized hole. If I knew, I'd fill it, and I'd be on my way. Isn't that interesting? This guy had everything. Bought homes for his parents. He had it. He was so. Well, I want 38-year-old Shia LaBeouf to meet a guy that's a couple hundred years older than here, about 400 years or so. This is what a guy by the name of Blaise Pascal, brilliant philosopher and mathematician, said this. He says, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart. Now, if this is true, this is me. This is you. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ. That's either true or false. Now, next week we're going to talk about who is Jesus. There are going to be questions like, is there evidence to support the Bible? Was Jesus really real? Was he a fictitious character of some crazy people? I mean, these are too important. These questions are too important to assume. There's too much at stake. So how about you and me for the next just few weeks or so, or as often as you can make it, as often as you can watch us live stream. And the food's going to be wonderful. We're going to make some good friends. Conversation's going to be enriching. It's really, what happens at the tables is the most fun. If you've been here before, I see some people shaking their heads. But we want to find out, really, if there really is more to life than this. Now, I want to ask you this question. Look at this. If you live 70 years, you will sleep 20 years and 3 months. I don't know if Americans sleep. That's pretty crazy. You'll watch TV for 10 years and 5 months. Don't ask me who comes up with these things. I have no idea. I just believed it. Made me feel good. You'll be in transportation mode for 5 years and 7 months. You will eat or drink, that's probably more like 17 years, and 7 years and 6 months. And then if you're about 70, you got about 87,000 more hours on average. So what am I asking? Come to Alpha. Spend about 24 hours. That's all we're talking about here. Over the course, just 24. What is that? That's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. Examining what I would say is the most important question, is there more to life than this? So I want to thank you guys for coming. I hope you'll come next week. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, live stream, come. If you'd like to get, by the way, forgive me while I do this. If you'd like to get more information, if you're watching live stream, you're not in town, and you'd like to get information, what we're doing, and what I didn't encourage you to do tonight, again, was to open the book to the first chapter. That would have been nice. But we can get you some manuals and some other questions and things like that as well. Look, if you'd like somebody to join you, if you want to come back, absolutely. We will make room for more people. We would love for you to hope you'll come back. And please feel free to bring friends with you as well. So again, thank you so much for being here. Sure hope to see you guys next week. Next week, the topic again, who is Jesus? And if you'd like to get a head start on that, just go into your book to chapter 2, session 2, who is Jesus? Thank you all so much for coming. Appreciate you being here.